You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Like good old tap water. Just turn it on and get it.
Where are you going? Donald, are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
Former high-flying financier Jeffrey Epstein was indicted today on charges of sex trafficking involving underage girls.
Excuse me, Edna. I don't think we're talking about love here. We're talking about S-E-X in front of the C-H-I-L-D-R-E-N.
Sex cauldron? I thought they closed that place down.
Federal prosecutors say Jeffrey Epstein created a network of dozens of victims, some as young as 14, who he sexually abused at his estate in Palm Beach, Florida, and mansion in New York City.
The FBI raid on the mansion uncovered sex toys, a life-size female doll hanging from a chandelier, and hundreds of lewd photos.
In 2008, Epstein was accused of running this very same sex trafficking operation involving at least 40 underage girls, but those federal charges back in 2008 were dropped after Epstein received a controversially lenient plea deal.
Epstein was only in county jail for 13 months and was allowed out to go to work 6 days a week.
The fallout from Epstein's case reached the White House Friday. Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta resigning his cabinet position after Acosta faced mounting pressure for his role in negotiating a controversial plea deal with Epstein as a U.S. attorney in Florida more than a decade ago. President Trump accepting the resignation while praising Acosta.
This was him, not me, because I'm with him. He's a tremendous talent. He's a Hispanic man.
He's a Hispanic man? What a strange thing to bring up when a guy is resigning. Like, no other boss would do that. No one would be like, so everybody, today is Jerry's last day. He's Korean, and there'll be cake in the break room. Thank you, everybody.
He's Hispanic, which I so admire.
Yes, indeed. It takes a lot of guts to be Hispanic. It really does.
So, the guy who gave Epstein that sweet deal has resigned in disgrace. But the question remains, how did Epstein manage to get away with just a slap on the wrist in the first place? Well, it turns out maybe it's because of how insanely connected he was.
The 66-year-old has palled around with some of the most powerful in politics and business, including President Trump.
In 2002, Trump called Epstein a terrific guy, adding, "It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side."
Reporting this morning suggesting closer ties between the president and Epstein. A 1992 party at Mar-a-Lago billed as a calendar girl competition. A Florida businessman who organized it tells the Times 30 people attended this party. 28 girls, Mr. Trump, and Mr. Epstein. That's the entire party.
28 women in a room with Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Doesn't sound like a party. It sounds like an escape the room. That's what it sounds like. Pull on his hair, see if it does something. And it's not just Trump. It turns out Epstein has had powerful friends on both sides of the aisle.
Mr. Epstein was also friends with former President Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton's office released its own statement. President Clinton knows nothing about the terrible crimes Jeffrey Epstein pleaded guilty to.
Clinton acknowledges he flew four times on Epstein's private jet in 2002 and 2003. Shante Davis was a flight attendant on the jet known as the Lolita Express because it allegedly shuttled underage girls between Epstein's homes.
And now a message from the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, I would like to address reports alleging that I was friends with billionaire convicted sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein and attended his infamous parties. Sure, I told New York Magazine in 2002 that Epstein is a terrific guy. But that was before I found out that I said later in the same sentence that he likes beautiful women on the younger side. I knew I had to cut off our relationship right then and several years after there. Now I've brought someone who can confirm that we are very innocent.
Hey, everybody. It's me, America's cold sore. Every few years, I pop up and remind you of your bad choices in the 90s. I have never been to Jeffrey Epstein's home on 71st Street between 5th and Madison near Jody's Juice. Try the strawberry. It's delicious.
And why would I go to Epstein's home? I don't want to be reminded of the things I've seen there.
Let's talk about the so-called Epstein jet on which Jeffy Boy and his friends, who know him as Jeffy Boy! Allegedly committed vile acts.
Sure, witnesses allege we were passengers, but so is Kevin Spacey.
I don't think this Boy Scout would let anything untoward happen up there. The only reason I was on that jet 4 times was it was the best deal on kayak.com.
And I promise I didn't smoke a cigarette in the bathroom.
Which is the only law in the sky, according to our attorney, Alan Dershowitz.
Dershy Boy!
He litigates like his friend. Freedom depends on it.
And it does. You know, Bill and I may disagree on health care and criminal justice.
Barely.
But we are unified against these all but undeniable accusations.
In the end, aren't we all just Americans accused of the most ghastly crime imaginable?
And on an unrelated note, I am naming a new Deputy Attorney General, Jeffrey Epstein. I'm also pardoning him and having his mouth filled with cement.
Don't you crack, Jeffy boy! We're sending a rope of potato chips down that way! I promise!
Bill, you're my best friend.
And you're mine. We're gonna get through this together, little brother.
I can't believe we almost let Hillary tear us apart.
This has been a message from two presidents of the United States.
Clearly, this is a man who had a lot of connections, right? It might explain how he got away with those heinous crimes for so long. And with these new charges being filed against him, many are wondering who he might bring down with him. Over the coming weeks, the story is going to unfold. There's a good chance a lot of questions are going to be answered, like how exactly Epstein made all of his money, which is shady. Which powerful people were involved in his sex ring?
This is when.
It's been obvious from the very first moment he stepped onto the political stage that Donald Trump is a racist.
You gold teeth, gold chain wearing, fried chicken and biscuit eating monkey.
And that racism is at the core of his political ideology. It's not a side dish, it's the main course. Every day he serves up a steaming hot entree of racism and then washes it down with a side of
McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza.
Time when they knew their place. Wasn't none of this mixing going on.
Trump launched his political career by questioning the legitimacy of the first black president, began his campaign by claiming Mexico was sending criminals and rapists to the U.S., and said a judge who was overseeing a lawsuit against him in 2016 shouldn't be allowed to oversee the case because of his ethnicity.
Now, this judge is of Mexican heritage. I'm building a wall, okay? I'm building a wall.
But you're invoking his race when talking about whether or not he can do his job.
Jack, I'm building a wall, okay? I'm building a wall.
If you are saying he can't do his job because of his race, is that not the definition of racism?
No, I don't think so at all.
No?
No, he's proud of his heritage. I respect him for that.
You're saying he can't do his job because of it?
Look, he's proud of his heritage, okay? I'm building a wall. this judge is giving us unfair rulings. Now I say why. Well, I'm building a wall.
Okay, but why won't you tell us what you're building?
The sun rose in the east. A bear relieved himself in the woods. Donald Trump was racist. And this wasn't just any run-of-the-mill. This was a humdinger. A new personal best in being the worst. Yesterday, the president pinched out a steaming pile of tweets against freshman representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, known in D.C. as the Squad. Of course, Trump does not like the Squad. He is the leader of the rival gang, the Klan. Trump tweeted, "So interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, if even if I can get it out. Now, loudly, dot, 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 and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest, most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came?" Now, if that strikes you as a little racist, you do not know the meaning of the word little.
AOC was born in New York, which is a United State. Presley's from Chicago, U.S. city by the lake. Tlaib is from Michigan, it's shaped just like a mitten. On a bus in California, you said grab him by the kitten. Omar's Minnesotan, the place with the mall. New Mexico's a U.S. state, don't try to build a wall. They're American, most born and bred, unlike the majority of women you have wed.
And it's so full, it's a chock block, it's a burrito of wrongness. What does he mean? They're telling us how our government is to be run. They're in Congress. They are our government. That is, I don't understand,
that's
John.
That's the job.
I don't understand why he's making these things. Who are these policemen to police what we do? If they don't like me drinking and driving, they can go back to Copsylvania. Now, Omar was a childhood immigrant from Somalia, while the other three were born here. But here's the point. Who cares? It is insulting. He's so wrong. He's so wrong of what he's saying. But here's the problem. It is insulting to these women to even have to defend them from these ridiculous racist accusations. And that's the problem. Even touching on Trump's obvious racism gets it on you. Also, a fair amount of bronzer. And is there anybody Trump does think was born in America?
Bring me Megan Rapinoe's long-form birth certificate, okay? There's no way in America could be that good at soccer, okay?
Okay. Trump went on.
"These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi would be very happy to quickly work out free travel."
So, that's interesting. Why is he dragging Pelosi into this? Well, here's the deal. Trump is trying to drive a wedge between progressive Democrats and establishment Democrats. But here's what he doesn't understand. The Democrats, it's a multivarious party, a lot of different factors there. But they only have one issue they agree on, and it's him. It's like in the sci-fi movie where everybody's fighting on Earth, but the only thing that can unite humanity is an alien invasion. Except this time, 42% of the country's like, those aliens are making some sense, you know? Maybe humans are food animals. I don't know. I know I'm well marbled. Besides, the aliens even gave me this cool red hat that says, yum, yum. After Trump tweeted, Pelosi immediately tweeted back, When at Real Donald Trump tells four American congresswomen to go back to their countries, he reaffirms his plan to make America great again has always been about making America white again.
An American history lesson. You don't know nothing about Lady Liberty standing there in the harbor with her torch on high, screaming out to all the nations of the world, send me your poor, your deadbeats, your filthy. And all the nations sent them in here. They come swarming in like ants. Your Spanish PRs from the Caribbean there. Your Japs, your Chinamen, your Krauts and your Hebes and your leading fans. Come in here, and they're all free to live in their own separate sections. Where they feel safe, and they bust your head if you go in there. That's what makes America great, buddy.
This is where the party ends. I just sit here wondering how you stand by your racist friend. I know politics for you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you. You and your racist friend.
And then today, Trump reeled off yet another racist tirade at a White House event called the Made in America Product Showcase. First, he took questions from reporters and defended his tweets when asked if they were racist.
Not at all.
Do you think that Democratic congresswomen are not American?
Somebody has a problem with our country. If somebody doesn't want to be in our country, they should leave.
Then Trump moved over to the podium where he continued his tirade and doubled down on those racist tweets.
If you're not happy in the U.S., if you're complaining all the time, very simply, you can leave. You can leave right now. Come back if you want. Don't come back. It's okay, too. But if you're not happy, you can leave.
Oh, shut up. I'm sorry. My mom told me not to say that. My mom told me not to say that, but come on. Nobody complains about America more than you do, you cranky old nutlid. Everything in your life has been handed to you on a silver platter, and yet you, every other word out of your mouth is a tantrum that would get a toddler dragged out of a ball pit. You complain about everything.
I'm sorry, you're accusing someone else of complaining. All you do is complain. You spent the 8 years of Obama's presidency lying and complaining about everything. In fact, at one point, you actually bragged about the fact that you were great at whining.
I am the most fabulous whiner. I do whine because I want to win. And I'm not happy about
whiners winners?
And I am a whiner, and I'm a whiner, and I keep whining and whining until I win.
That is a terrible Dr. Seuss book. I keep whining and whining until I'm a winner. And then I go home and have pizza for dinner. Now, Trump's attack on four progressive women of color wasn't just blatantly and appallingly racist. It's also a classic racist trope. It's the kind of taunt or insult people of color have been subjected to for years, as Senator Kamala Harris explained.
It is absolutely racist and un-American. And it is an old trope, go back to where you came from, that, you know, you might hear it on the street, but you should never hear that from the President of the United States.
They have to love our country. They're congresspeople, and I never used any names. But these are people, quiet. These are people that if they don't like it here, they can leave.
That's the building of our country right there, Mr.
Trump.
Americans are burning.
I don't see no Americans. I see trespassers. Irish harps do a job for a nickel what a does for a dime, and a white man used to get a quarter for. What have they done? Name one thing they've contributed. Votes. Votes, you say? They vote how the Archbishop tells them, and who tells the Archbishop? Their king in the pointy hat, what sits on his throne in Rome.
Got mixed feelings as regards the Irish.
Deliver these good and fervent folk to the polls on a regular basis, and there'll be a handsome price for each vote goes Tammany's way.
My father gave his life making this country what it is. You think I'm gonna help you befoul his legacy? By giving this country over to them what's had no hand in the fighting for it? Why, because they come off a boat crawling with lice and begging you for soup?
You're a great one for the fighting, Bill, I know. But you can't fight forever.
I can go down doing it.
And you will.
Then Trump was asked directly about the inherent racism of his comments.
Does it concern you that many people saw that tweet as racist and
that white nationalist groups are finding common cause with you on that point.
It doesn't concern me because many people agree with me.
Yes, many people agree with you, like the white nationalists. Trump also responded to Nancy Pelosi's tweets about his comments by purposefully misunderstanding her tweet about his comments.
Speaker Pelosi said you want to make America white again. Is that true?
Well, that's just a very racist statement. Somebody that would say that. So Speaker Pelosi said, make America white again.
She said that's what
Let me
you
tell you, that's
do.
A
Is
very
that true,
racist.
Sir?
That's a very racist statement. I'm surprised she'd say that.
Yes, it's very racist. It's very racist. I'm surprised she would say that because that is copyright infringement and she will be hearing from my lawyers, okay? That's my gig. That's my gig. Never rub another man's rhubarb.
Oh, wow.
Trump's tweets have been universally condemned by the Democrats. And here is the Republican response. One Republican was bold enough to step forward. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, and he had harsh words for the president.
He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot.
Where did he find the courage? Oh, it was 3 years ago? Before he was spayed and or neutered?
Trump's the best golfer. You're the best golfer.
Lindsey Graham is probably the closest Donald Trump will ever come to owning a dog.
Because this is what he said today.
We all know that AOC and this crowd are a bunch of communists. They hate Israel. They hate our own country. They're anti-Semitic. They're anti-America. They're socialist. They're anti-Semitic. They stand for all the things that most Americans disagree with.
He's just listing every negative quality he can think of. They're communists, they're socialists, they're street mimes, they're anti-America, they're pro-chlamydia, they hate Israel, they want to outlaw pizza, they think the third Matrix movie was the best one.
I've got a friend, he keeps up with these groups. He says they're moving away from the old violent racist style, so that's what
Drunk
is peddling now. It's becoming mainstream.
Duke.
David Duke, current Grand Wizard of the Klan, but he's always in a three-piece suit, never seen in a hood or robe in public, and he now goes by National Director, so he's clearly got his sights on higher office.
Politics? How so?
I think it's another way to sell hate. Don't think about it. Affirmative action, immigration, crime, tax reform. He says no one wants to be called a bigot anymore. I guess Archie Bunker made that too uncool. So the idea is under all these issues, everyday Americans can accept it, support it, until eventually, one day, you get somebody in the White House that embodies it.
Sarge, come on. America would never elect somebody like David Duke, President of the United States of America.
Coming from a black man, that's pretty naive.
Why don't you wake up?
David Duke is one of Donald Trump's biggest fans in Louisiana, voices admiration for Donald Trump.
I will be Donald Trump's most loyal advocate to make sure his nominees go to the Supreme Court.
Anthony Scaramucci, who briefly ran White House Communications, a defender of the president, for whatever reason, now this has hit his breaking point, and he uses the word racist. Take a listen.
He's blowing very hard on a dog whistle that every ethnic group
that's landed in the United States has had to hear. I don't see the president as a racist, but here's the thing. If you continue to say and act in that manner, then we all have to look at him and say, okay, well, maybe you weren't a racist, but now you're turning into one. I mean, what are you doing exactly?
If the president was not telling these four congresswomen to return to their supposed countries of origin, to which countries was he referring?
What's your ethnicity?
Why is that relevant?
No, because I'm asking you a question. My ancestors are from Ireland and Italy.
My own ethnicity is not relevant to the question I'm asking.
No, it is, because you're asking about, he said originally. He said originally from. And you know everything he has said since, and to have a full conversation.
Are you saying that the president was telling the Palestinian...
The president's already commented on that.
Go back to the occupied territory.
The president's already commented on that, and he said a lot about this since that one tweet. No, he's put out a lot of tweets, and he made himself available to all of you yesterday. Yes, he has. He's tired. A lot of us are sick and tired of this country, of America coming last, to people who swore an oath of office. Sick and tired of our military being denigrated. Sick and tired of the Customs and Border Patrol people, the protection people I was with, who are overwhelmingly Hispanic, by the way, in McAllen, Texas. Sick and tired of them being, no, you don't understand, because you didn't go, being criticized, being doxxed by a bunch of Hollywood D-listers who have nothing else to do but sit on their ass on Twitter all day and try to dox brave men and women who are diving into the Rio Grande to save people who are drowning, who are taking other people's babies into custody.
This is when the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics for you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend.
His administration is inflicting cruelty on migrants through inhumane detention centers, family separation, and he spent his career questioning the legitimacy of everyone from the first black president to judges to members of Congress. What more do you need to impeach this guy? Congress should just say to him,
you can leave. You can leave right now.
Thanks for the song. This week from They Might Be
Giants. A golden earring.
And thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Rudy Giuliani, Rod Serling,
our
cartoon
president,
Seth Meyers, Sal Fragione, Jake Tapper, Stephen Colbert, Archie Bunker,
Chris
Cuomo, Kamala Harris,
Bill
Cutting, William
Bob
Tweed,
Amsterdam
Valen
from Dane, New York,
Roberts, Lindsey Graham, Sergeant Trap, Ron Stallworth
from
Black Klansman,
David
Duke, Ari Melba, Anthony Scaramucci, Andrew Feinberg, Kellyanne Conway.
The preceding show was recorded at Waveform's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Sworn and cheered with my friends, what a big win, but I'm not really sure no more. No, I'm not really sure.
And they can play ball, come on.
That First Lady Riga, was she lucky, were we, but I'm not really sure no more. No, I'm not really sure.
that I am sure. I am sure. Die for American lives, cause he's not really sure. Oh,
y'all
no.
Know this man.
No, he's not really sure. I'm so transfixed, he's dumb as bricks. A magic show with no tricks. Of the spell, he's unsure. Oh no, no, Donna Paul is not sure. That I am sure.
Bring back Obama, Michelle, Malia, Sasha, all of them lost them. Now we're stuck with this imposter. Why can't we just toss them like we did 1773 with the T and the C up in Boston? Brown folks still under siege, women still underpaid, LGBTQ still underbooed, and this dude known to grab them by the cooch still under investigation. No need for saving face, we are out saving grace. Say your last prayers, red cap wearers, make America great again, never. What kind of forever?
We are back, and I'm joined now by a very special guest, the President of the United States. Are we still going with that title? Yes? They're telling me yes? Okay, still good. Welcome, Mr. President. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you must be very busy cleaning out your desk. It has been quite a dramatic news week for you.
They make up lies. I've seen it many times. They make up things.
I mean, two former employees convicted, one implicating you as a co-conspirator in his crimes, a public feud with your attorney general, friends and allies, even doormen flipping on you left and right.
I know all about flipping. For 30, 40 years, I've been watching Flippers.
Such a good show.
Look, I didn't know Manafort well. He wasn't with the campaign long.
Well, then why don't we start with your former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen?
I always found him to be a nice guy.
Were you aware of the hush money payments he is now saying were financed by the campaign per your instruction?
They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me, and I tweeted about it. You know, I don't know if you know, but I tweeted about the payments. But they didn't come out of campaign.
Did they come out of the campaign?
They didn't come out of the campaign, and that's big.
Huge.
Because that could be...
illegal?
A little dicey.
Or illegal.
But they weren't... it's not even a campaign violation. If you look at President Obama, he had a massive...
David Pecker, your friend and CEO of the National Enquirer, has recently been granted immunity in the Cohen investigation and is said to have a lot of dirt on you.
I don't know. I've always had controversy in my life, and I've always succeeded. I've always won.
Well, some say you're about to win, most likely to get impeached.
I'll tell you what. If I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash.
If you ever got impeached?
I think everybody would be very poor.
Why, if you ever got impeached, you would...
you would probably start crying, then rehash all the lying and rhetoric you've preached. All the Dems would be smirking. Jim Acosta would start twerking if you ever got impeached.
If I ever got impeached...
you could just give in to Mueller, then go and get some color by lying on a beach.
This is all natural, right?
With the crimes you've been fixing, you could be another Nixon if you only got impeached.
I think the market would crash.
You'd be through and take with you our worries and our strife. You'd return to only burdening your wife. And we'd resume a normal life. Find a lawyer, cause you'll need one. Write a book or learn to read one. Or get your eyebrows bleached, cause... just relax at the spa, go yourself at Mar-a-Lago when you, if you get impeached.
I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a great job.
You'd be more than implicated for laws you violated and protocols you breached.
Because without this thinking...
we could finally all stop drinking if you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
We would dance and sing and revel. No one else has hit the level of infamy you've reached. Giuliani could retire. Pence could join a gay men's choir if you ever get impeached.
The president did nothing wrong.
When you flee, take Huckabee. And finally I'll be calm. I'd ask Michael Avenatti to the prom. And Kellyanne could move to Guam. More than half the country's waiting, so think about the ratings. Cause when you gave your speech, we would all tune in to listen. You could finally go to prison.
I'm not involved. I wasn't charged with anything.
If you ever got impeached...
I think everybody would be very poor.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
The greatest hoax in history. Yeah.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Is it true that you threw a tiny baby temper tantrum and stormed out of your infrastructure meeting after learning that Nancy Pelosi accused you of being, quote, engaged in a cover-up?
I don't do cover-ups. This meeting was set up a number of days ago at 11 o'clock. All of a sudden, I hear last night they're going to have a meeting right before this meeting to talk about the I word.
The what?
The I word.
Impotent?
The I word.
Irrational?
The I word.
Idris Elba?
The I word.
Oh, impeachment.
Can you imagine?
Well.
The whole thing with Russia was a hoax. And I will tell you, my lawyers say, you don't have to do this. You can use presidential privilege.
You don't have to let your lawyers and all of your staff testify. Would you recommend it? Well, you can be transparent or you can be tight.
Sweetie, you seem riled up. Would you like a hard candy or maybe a ventilator?
These people were out to get us.
Well, if I may, Mr. President.
Some days, Democrats can be a pain trying to circumvent. It's hard to be the fake president. What crazy sounds you make. Is it a substance that you're sniffing? Or could it just be a sinus thing? Life just ain't rosy. Nancy Pelosi's creeping on your TV, acting shady. Tried to drop Mueller, thought this was over, but she's got your number now and you feel under attack. Just keep breathing and breathing and breathing and breathing. You know they might impeach. Keep on breathing. Just keep wheezing, seething, panting, grimacing. Your teeth are falling out. Keep your teeth in.
Presidential privilege.
You clown and mess around. Joking about subpoenas they give. Invoking so much executive privilege. But now things got you down. Thought that your Fox friends would never cheat. Why they all crushing on Mayor Pete?
Ooh, girl.
They just dissed Donald. Now he's dissed Ronald. He's breathing like my old man's carburetor. Ew. He cries no fair and claims he's transparent. I guess you could say he's right, cause we see through him every time.
Madam Speaker, dozens of House Democrats, along with multiple legal experts and my Aunt Linda, have found clear grounds for impeachment. Where do you stand?
I don't think we should impeach a president for political reasons.
How about just for fun?
We have to see what the facts are. I mean, this is not a day at the beach. Let's hope that a level of maturity here will set in, because the American people expect results.
Just impeach him, impeach him, impeach him, impeach him.
Well, let me say.
Excuse me. They say the only way you can reach him is impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. But you know it's what they want. Just impeach him.
Sir, you tweeted a video of Speaker Pelosi, which was clearly doctored to make her appear drunk or impaired. Isn't that a cheap shot?
What they've done is abuse. The President of the United States engaged in a cover. Oh, let's call Russia. Maybe they get it's a hoax.
Just keep tweeting, retweeting, misleading, and cheating. Gross. I hear a lot of phlegm when he's breathing. Just impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. But I'm tired of hearing them say impeach him.
Just do it already. Let's go get a drink.
With your skies falling, just keep stonewalling. The hell is going on with his breathing? What's he been huffing? Is she just loving? Keep your teeth in.
God bless the United States.
Girl.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Hi, I'm Laura from Hudson. At the Hudson Farmers Market, you're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM hands-on radio.
Tune in to Radio for Open Ears Wednesday, July 24th. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has rescheduled his testimony for that day, and you'll hear it live on the radio, coverage from the Pacifica Radio Network. Live Wednesday, July 24th, we're interrupting regularly scheduled programming to bring you the Robert Mueller testimony from Washington, D.C. on the radio at 90.7 FM.
WGXC Underwriting Support
is provided by Velo Domestique Bicycle Shop. Professional bicycle services at 437 Route 295 in Chatham. Information at www.velodomestique.com or 518-392-3010.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephanie Medlock of LaPorte, Indiana. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Captain reports for Columbia Green Media that Greene County Administrator Sean Groden says that someone, he does not know who, has been auctioning off parts of the former Greene County Sheriff's Office attached to the former jail in Catskill without authorization. The former jail and sheriff's office closed in April 2018 after being deemed unsafe. The jail was first used in 1905, and some consider it historic. Catskill resident Pat Ruck said her recent Airbnb guest told her they paid someone $700 for doors, a staircase, and other items from the building. A June 5th public safety meeting authorized auctioning off a few kitchen items, but nothing more. Groden said, and I quote, "I haven't determined how we went from kitchen equipment to wood molding," end quote. He also did not know who was involved in the expanded sale. Greene County Sheriff Greg Sealing is retiring later this year and was just in the news saying he would defy a county nepotism policy and deputize his son before the end of the year. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden is now admitting that it was he who approved the sale of various architectural details from the county sheriff's former office on Bridge Street in the village of Catskill. Groden initially pleaded ignorance when rumors of the sale arose during a public safety committee meeting last week. At the time, Groden insisted he did not know who was selling the items and said the auction was unauthorized. On July 15th, Groden fessed up, confirming he green-lighted the sale. Groden said, and I quote, "I actually authorized it in an email I must have read at 80 miles an hour. In parentheses, there was wooden windows and doors that I must not have caught," end quote. He said the email was sent from the Greene County Sheriff's Office. He said, and I quote, "I responded and told them to proceed. I told the board I take full responsibility for it," end quote. Five doors were sold for $250, as well as some wood moldings that were not picked up. Groden said, and I quote, "We are asking the winners to return the items. They won fair and square, so it's the purchaser's option," end quote. Local historic preservationist Meg Nowak said last month, "The jail, which opened in 1905, is a historical asset to the community." She said, and I quote, "To ignore that legacy is irresponsible, in a sense, and it's really sad," end quote. Deputy Greene County Administrator Warren Hart said county officials want to demolish the office building and jail, but leave a carriage house on the property intact. $500,000 has been set aside for the demolition. Nowak said that due to the historic significance of the property, the county must get permission from the State Historic Preservation Office and the Village Planning Board for demolition. The legislature will discuss the fate of the old jail at a workshop meeting 6 p.m. Wednesday, July 24th in the caucus room at 411 Main Street in Catskill. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Sarah Tapton at Columbia Green Media updates the ever-changing story from Greene County Administrator Sean Groden about a recent online auction of county items that has been called both unauthorized and allowed. Last week, Groden said he did not know who was auctioning off parts of the former Greene County Sheriff's Office attached to the former jail in Catskill without authorization. He said the online auctions for kitchen equipment have been approved, but nothing else. Gruden said at the time, and I quote, "I haven't determined how we went from kitchen equipment to wood moldings," end quote. Then a few days later, Gruden claimed he had approved the sale of various architectural details from the county sheriff's former office on Bridge Street in the village of Catskill. Gruden said, and I quote, "I actually authorized it in an email I must have read at 80 miles an hour. In parentheses, there was wooden windows and doors that I must have not caught," end quote. The email was sent from the Greene County Sheriff's Office, he said. He said, and I quote, "I responded and told them to proceed. I told the board I take full responsibility for it," end quote. But now a screenshot that the newspaper says was from the online auction lists, and I quote, "vintage windows, doors, radiators, floors, molding, and more," end quote, which seems like many types of items that Gruden has not publicly disclosed approving. It is unclear how many items were sold at the online auction, how much money was raised, and where those funds went. But Gruden wants the items that were not supposed to be sold back. Gruden said, and I quote, "We are asking the winners to return the items. They won fair and square, so it is the purchaser's option," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Sarah Captain reports for Columbia Green Media that previously Greene County officials said the former county jail was unusable, making the building's condition another argument for building a new $70 million jail in Coxsackie. Now, though, those same officials are spending money with an engineering firm to determine the cost of bringing the building up to code. Greene County legislators voted for a $39 million bond last September based on an 80-bed jail proposal. Greene County Administrator Sean Gruden has been saying this year, as opposition to the jail increased, that would be a 48-bed facility. Once approved, that changed to a 60-bed facility, the current line from Gruden. Last October, Greene County Legislator William Lawrence, the Republican of Cairo and chairman of the Public Safety Committee, said on average, Greene County residents can expect a 6.73% tax increase next year because of the construction. The tax increase are similar across the county, with Windham residents seeing the lowest increase of 6.48% and Ashland residents receiving the largest increase of 6.91%. Former Windham Representative Lori Torgensen said, and I quote, "I continue to believe this is going to be the biggest waste of county resources in the history of Greene County or ever in the future. Those of us who thought of alternatives are on the right side of history," end quote. Currently, Greene County is sharing jail services with Albany and Columbia counties, even though many Greene County legislators continue to claim it is illegal to share jail services with neighboring counties. The Greene County Legislature will hold a workshop on July 24th to discuss the future of the former jail located on Bridge Street in Catskill. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
President Trump redefines White House. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Donald Trump has given new meaning to the White House. From his perch at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, he hurls racist epithets via tweet while commanding armed agents to terrorize immigrants at the border and in communities from coast to coast. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi summed it up well, commenting last week about Trump's attempts to insert a citizenship question into the U.S. Census, even after he was rebuffed by the Supreme Court. She accused Trump of trying to make America white again. It's well known that Trump is a voracious consumer of Fox News. On Sunday morning, just 20 minutes after Fox and Friends ran a piece attacking Congressmembers Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib, Trump tweeted, quote, "So interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came?" the president tweeted. Go back to where you came from? Three of the congresswomen he attacked were born in the United States. Ocasio-Cortez, born in the Bronx, is the youngest woman ever to serve in Congress. Ayanna Pressley, born in Cincinnati, is the first African-American congresswoman to represent Massachusetts. Rashida Tlaib, born in Detroit, is Palestinian-American. She and Ilhan Omar are the first Muslim women ever elected to Congress. Omar is also the first congresswoman to wear a hijab. Born in Somalia, she came to the U.S. as a political refugee when she was a child. As one viral video pointed out, Omar has been a U.S. citizen longer than Trump's third wife, First Lady Melania Trump, a native of Slovenia. Trump's racist tweets united a fractured Democratic Party, quickly mobilizing support for the four freshman congresswomen now referred to collectively as the Squad. By Tuesday, a resolution, House Res 489, condemning President Trump's racist comments directed at members of Congress, was being debated on the House floor. Republicans temporarily derailed the debate by invoking an obscure line contained in the congressional rules that states, quote, "references to racial or other discrimination on the part of the president are not in order," unquote. The original rulebook banning the use of the word racist was written by Thomas Jefferson, himself a slave owner, but any irony in that was apparently lost on the Republicans. The resolution ultimately passed with four Republicans voting with the Democratic majority. While it was the first formal House rebuke of a sitting president in over 100 years, a more serious motion to censure Trump was blocked by Pelosi. Trump doubled down on his verbal assaults on the four congresswomen, accusing them of being socialists or communists. Trump's use of McCarthy-era attacks should surprise no one, as his early mentor was Roy Cohen, who served as Senator Joseph McCarthy's lead attorney when destroying thousands of lives through red baiting during the 1950s. President Trump went to North Carolina Wednesday night to hold a campaign rally. Once again, he went after his favorite targets— women and people of color, telegraphing what will likely be a strategy of using racist rhetoric to inflame his white base. In the midst of his long tirade directed against Ilhan Omar, the crowd began chanting, "Send her back, send her back." In his book, The Black History of the White House, American University professor Clarence Lussain chronicles the history of the presidential mansion, from the slaves forced to build it to the first African-American presidential family, the Obamas. Lussain writes, "For many African-Americans, the white of the White House has meant more than just the building's color. It symbolized the hue and source of dehumanizing cruelty, domination, and exclusion that has defined the long narrative of whites' relations to people of color in the United States," Professor Lussain writes. On Monday, the four congresswomen who so clearly threatened Trump held a news conference denouncing his racism towards them and people of color overall, pointing to his policies on migrant detention, family separation, and threatened ICE raids. Refusing to mention Trump by name, Congressmember Ayanna Pressley made clear whose country this is.
"Despite the occupant of the White House attempts to marginalize us and to silence us, please know that we are more than four people. We ran on a mandate to advocate for and to represent those ignored, left out, and left behind. Our squad is big. Our squad includes any person committed to building a more equitable and just world. And that is the work that we want to get back to. And given the size of this squad and this great nation, we cannot, we will not be silenced."
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, community radio.